Mr. Winston and Mrs. Winston, reel 8.
Pictures. I do not paint, yet on my wall are painted pictures which enthrall. I thank all those I cannot see who in my anguish care for me. The sun paints in the cube design in richest yellow, tender line. He piles on colour bright and thick, a checker pattern holds the brick. Then suddenly, enwrapped in thought, rubs off the scheme and leaves me naught. But soon again he grows more bold, he lavishly pours gold on gold. The moon prepares symphonic scheme of blue and green in haunting theme. The walls too small for her design, the floor and ceiling show her line. With many brushes at a time, the moonbeams creep, the moonbeams climb, until my cell is good to me, a strange and haunting fantasy. The gas jet draws in silhouette, a thinking figure sorrow set. I thank all those I cannot see who in my anguish care for me. Let us sing of the coolness of prison walls and the humaneness of warders. Let us sing of the silent companionship and my brothers sitting meekly at their work. Let us sing of the common life with juvenile and convict. Let us sing of the peace to come and our comrades the world over. It is a sunny day. Daffodils and tulips are in full bloom. Casualties are estimated at many millions. Individuality. Prisoners with very deep insight can observe that not all people are alike. Listen to the number of ways of keeping silence. Always I feel as haunted by a form that seems to follow me. I once looked up and saw quite clear this image that was always near. It was a man all strong and brown, the sea and sky were in him shone, and in his eyes love smiled through, such was the form that came to view. "And who are you?" I asked of him, this youth that watched my every whim. "I am the spirit you set free, to see that you shall worthy be." Bedford Prison, reading. Between my eye and book there is an empty space where often there appears my child's own lovely face. I stroke her golden head and in her eyes I look, then bend to reach her kiss, to find there but a book. Great war. Soon shall it be naught but the whispering of a tired child forced to learn by rote the empty story. Song of the Dead. All we dead together are, naught will rouse us from our stare. We were blind and did not see, now we see but cannot do. Now we hear but cannot say, naught can rouse us from our stare. I saw a daffodil beneath a chestnut tree, and glad it made me feel, for this it whispered me. "Your spring has come," it said, "and soon shall you appear as risen from the dead to all who hold you dear, and soon shall you behold the world of living men, and feel your life unfold and know of joy again. Ah, only they can feel of freedom long bereft, life's wondrous miracle, the treasure of the gift. I think that's all you want. Do you want the recollections?
Which is, I don't know the recollections. Is it the walk?
I passed the place my youth was spent.
Oh, that was it.
You'd like another one?
Yes.
Are they of any interest to you? The long one, I think, if you don't mind, Claire.
Recollection?
No, the long one. No, the further on, I think. The last one in the thing.
The very last one?
The very last one. It's a long one. It was written
to
first.
My friend in the trenches.
It was written first of all, but it's...
Friend, do you remember that long tramp of ours through those winding lanes? How we walked for hours without a word between us? Suddenly you stopped at a stile and sat gazing while I walked on slowly, daydreaming. I reached the inn when twilight hushed the birds. I knew you would sit on for hours in that stillness. You remember when you came in that bright room, you found us all sitting in the ingle, singing choruses. The kettle was ready, and after the meal you hunched up and with pipe in mouth went into a doze. That silence of yours silenced us. We all just sat smoking. While you were sleeping thus, our host told us that war was declared. You did not hear. The old men argued noisily, but all had gone before you woke up. You looked so happy when you opened your eyes in the quiet, cozy room, I said. We have many days walking before us. Let us go into our room and write. You agreed. I didn't want you to discover too quickly that you awoke in a world of war. Do you remember how, while you were writing, a boy shouted, "England declares war"? You turned ghastly pale. You left your work and said, "Friend, I shall go tomorrow." I remained silent. We were both so very young. You were very agitated in your sleep. I did not sleep at all. You muttered, "O God, O God." I stroked your head. I knew we were to part. I would not kill. We were awakened by the song of birds. You rose very quickly. No idle reverie. At breakfast, we spoke about trains to London. You asked me not to see you off. We kissed warmly, and you were gone. I see now I must have walked in trance for hours. I had lost direction. I remember that lone, wretched figure trudging. I do not know whether it was sunny or no. I reached the top of a high hill overlooking a big town. Under a large overhanging tree, I ate some food and then must have slept for hours, for I awoke in the darkness and wept. My friend had been taken from me. I wept for hours. I knew what slaughter meant. There must have been Germans weeping too. I would not kill. I stared at the still city below me, all asleep. I looked up. The sky was full of stars. There was soft moaning in the trees. I got up and, stretching my hands to the sky and looking into the eyes of the world, said, "Youth shall yet proclaim its rights. We love and revere life. We shall not kill." Then I fell on the earth and prayed and begged of it to treat the slaughtered ones gently. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. The Moon Child, or Let Every Child,
well,
oh yes.
Yes.
You wrote this...
I'm afraid I wrote this the week afterwards.
After the war?
No, not, well, no, no, after release. It's an echo of it. It's interesting for this reason. In what spirit do you come out? Do you come out embittered and blaming everybody that your life has been wrecked, or do you come out with a truer vision of life? And this is interesting for that reason. There it is, Claire.
Let every child of every land join hands in this glad game, for though our speech may different be, our laughter is the same. For though our speech may different be, the same sun shines on all, and loves to see all children glad that live on this green ball. And he that ever hurt a child, he is forgiven now. Let him too join our merry game, that love in him may grow. Let every child of every land join hands in this glad game, for though our speech may different be, our laughter is the same.
And then that moon child is looking back. It's a different symbolic thing, isn't it?
My mother found me in the moon when she was roving in the sky. She came across the great moon nest and heard her baby's lonely cry. For I was in the moon away, and there alone watched children play, and wished that I could play with them, and wished that I could laugh with them. My mother travelled quietly on a white cloud through silent space, until she came to the moon nest, and there she saw her baby's face, for I was in the moon away. She placed me on her breast and flew right down and down through lovely air until we fell on soft green grass and gladly found our slumber there, for I was in the moon away. And when we woke, some children came. They ran to me and asked me play. I played and told them of the moon where once I lived so far away, for I was in the moon away. That's to our second child.
Yes, that's later still.
I saved her life. She was born unexpectedly, you see. I mean, I knew she was coming, but we went to a concert to hear all the nationalities' songs in a huge hall.
Queen's Hall. Queen's Hall.
Well, it doesn't exist anymore, but it existed then. And we were living in Kensington, and we met friends there. We had lots of friends. And we walked back. It was such a lovely evening. And we walked back. It was in my seventh month. And we walked right from where the BBC is now, and what's it called? Crescent?
Regent Street.
You know where BBC
yes.
is?
Langham Street.
We walked on and came to Hyde Park. By then I began to feel tired. It was a lovely evening, and the sheep were in Hyde Park, and we stood and watched them. They looked so strange, white, fluffed in the moon, you see. And no taxi wanted to take us. We were not very far from Hyde Park, but no taxi wanted to take us. It was too short a journey, they said. So we walked on, and in the very early morning, our kiddie said that I'm coming into life. So we went there. We went to the nearest nurse. My doctor came, still in his tennis clothes, and he told us to go to the nearest place, a private nursing home. And our kiddie arrived. And then the nurse took it away, wrapped up in a towel, and took it away and attended to me. After a little while, I said, I want to see my child. Oh, she said, but you can't see it. You mustn't see it. Well, I said, yes, I want to see it. I felt an urge. I must see it. So she said, oh, very well. And she walked away and came back with it, wrapped up in a towel. And it was a very tiny and absolutely blue. Blue, I mean like this blue, dark blue. Now when I was a kiddie, my father used to say, in order for you to get the very best language, you write out from the Bible. And I remember reading a story of what's his name?
Elijah.
Who? Came across a mother who was weeping over a dead son, and he lay on it and breathed into it, and it came to life. So I thought, now it's a thing I hadn't thought about. Would a schoolgirl ever think of such a thing? But it all came to me, and I put my whole body over her and breathed into her. I gave her the kiss.